Product Breakfast Club.
I'm actually going to try to do good this time. Product Breakfast Club.
Product Breakfast Club.
Product Breakfast Club.
Product Breakfast Club.
Product
Breakfast Club.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. I guess everybody's just me.
Everybody. Have we done one where we're actually like standing looking? We did the ones in your apartment.
Oh, yeah. But this is the first time in a while. It's super awkward.
It's extremely awkward.
It's worse even.
We are in Stockholm, Sweden. We're just at the end of a very long workshop day.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
It was great. We're at the end of doing lots of workshops in 2 weeks. This was my fourth in 2 weeks. So
Jesus.
And it was cool. This has been a great trip around the Nordic countries, except for Norway. Sorry, Norway.
Oh, you didn't like Norway or you didn't go to Norway?
Didn't go there, but
okay. Yeah. It's also extremely snowy today as well.
Yeah, it's been snowy and awesome.
You can probably hear some music in the background and people walking around that we're extremely antisocially standing here doing a podcast recording because myself and Jake are going to be traveling so much in the next few weeks that it's going to be difficult to record. And we try to get it in every week. Bye-bye. Very nice to meet you.
We're standing by the coats as people leave the workshop and we're recording. I was the bad influence on Jonathan. I said, let's record the podcast now. Jonathan said, humans don't do that. They actually interact with each other. And I said, no, they just stand here weirdly with microphones right by the coats.
I also said, no, because I've been drinking and so have you. So let's not do this podcast. But you know, I mean, that's the thing about the Product Breakfast Club. We keep it authentic.
We keep it raw.
Raw. I thought you were going to say raw. This is going to be an extremely short episode. So I do have a topic for you. Over the last few days, we've been traveling around teaching people about the design sprint, right?
Okay, yep.
I think it's safe to say that we both believe that the design sprint is a process that helps companies to make decisions, build products. You don't agree. You don't.
I'm on board.
You're on board. Okay. So anyone who's just like listening and doesn't know, Jake wrote the book Sprint and kind of knows about the design sprint. And he's got a lot of incentives to say that it's, it's a great thing.
Buy a sprint.
By sprint. We need to do that more often. Now, I've been traveling around recently a lot as well and going company to company. And one of my jobs is trying to help companies to, just this keyword, innovate.
Yeah. You just walk in the door and you're like, innovate.
Innovate now. Yeah. How many innovate do you guys need? 3 innovate?
Okay. How many innovates have you done today? Could you make it 5 more? What about 10 more?
We need more of those.
What if I just question all of your assumptions about how many innovates could be done per hour?
I think we need more empathy in this room. Definitely more empathy. So I actually have a thought and let's just chat. I don't have an answer to this question.
Okay, good.
How important do you think leadership, like a strong leader.
Oh, yeah.
When you're looking at companies, Amazon, you're looking at how Apple developed, you're looking at Google, you're looking at Amazon again, looking at Facebook, Twitter. A lot of these companies are still founder-led, right? Obviously, Apple isn't, but it would be if Steve Jobs was still alive. What kind of role do you think a strong leader, whether you're talking about CEO or team leads, how much influence do people like that have? And can you have completely crap processes and still innovate and still be a successful company that's viewed as innovative if you have the right leader?
I think those people play a big role. You know, the leader plays a big role. And it's the word innovate, it kind of almost makes me cringe a little bit because it's so like, what does it mean? And I think people go after that when they're really trying to just build successful businesses. But it's very hard to have a successful company or a successful product when you don't have a great leader. And I've worked on projects in the past, seen companies working where they didn't even maybe know who the leader was, or the leader wasn't empowered to make decisions. I can't think of an example of a company with like a not great leader who then turned out to have like a great product. You can, however, think of examples where companies have leaders who get better over time. That happens. Absolutely, that happens, right? Like people get better judgment over time. They learn how to do better. And that's why often companies are more successful when people who founded them have had experience. But I don't know if you can think of examples of a company where the leader was an idiot and, you know, the product was great anyway.
Yeah.
Leaders could be idiots, but they're good at something. They have to be good at something and they have to be able to retain people who are excited. So yeah, it's huge. And you could almost simplify everything down that we do to have a good leader.
Right.
Don't listen to us. Just have a good leader.
No, but I mean, I'm wondering, do the processes that we teach help companies that have better leaders disproportionately more than companies that are already kind of struggling with that whole thing, right?
Yeah.
If I think about companies that I work for, we worked with the German Football League, and the guy who was actually the CEO of this was just such a strong personality who is also willing to take risks and kind of push things in the right direction. He's also educated, kept himself up to date with all this kind of, let's say, innovation stuff. And I would say like had a vision in terms of what that company wanted to do and really removed a lot of the barriers for us to come in and help out, right?
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of the keyword innovation that was happening there was driven by that leader, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I don't want to put myself out of the job here, but it feels like that could be a blocker. It could be a blocker for the company achieving, like actually hitting this thing that they're looking for, like, you know, digital transformation, this big change, this like we are viewed on the market as an innovative company that's not just successful for doing these like big old ass B2B things. We want to be the new Apple. I'm just not sure how companies are going to get to that point without almost like a singular vision, if you know what I mean.
I think that what the design sprint can do is help leaders do their job better. And I think that the design sprint is like, I know you play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons, Jonathan. That's something everyone knows about
you. I'm playing
it
right now.
Yeah, that was a nice roll there. It's a natural 20. That's nice. I think that there's a character type in Dungeons and Dragons called a paladin. Paladin makes other players better. Like they make the other players stronger. They add to what's going on. And I know that everyone is longing for this Dungeons and Dragons metaphor to just stretch on and on, but I'll stop
here. Keep it going, Jake.
Basically, the design sprint is like the paladin. It makes everybody else better. If you've got a good fighter, a good wizard, whatever on your team, the paladin's going to just help out. And that's like what the design sprint's there to do. It's going to help everybody do what they do better. But it's not going to turn someone who has poor judgment, someone who does not have a vision, into someone who does. It can improve those skills. And I think, you know, we were talking today about how in a sprint, when you're making decisions and you're a leader, it's stressful. When you're running a startup, you're running a business, owning a product, and you have to decide what are these team of people going to do for the coming months? Is this product going to be successful? And you have to rely on your hunch. Super tough. But one of the things that's cool about the sprint is it gives leaders the chance to hear ideas from their team, see those ideas on a level playing field, hear what the team thinks, you know, what different leaders on the team think about things. And then the leader, the person who's the decider in the sprint, gets to choose which ideas to test and to get data to see how customers react to those ideas right away. And what that does is, I think, give leaders a chance to get more reps. They get more reps making decisions and then seeing what happens with their customers. It brings them closer to their customers, so they get a better understanding of, when I try this, that happens. When I try this, that happens. And serial entrepreneurs tend to be more successful, partly because they have this better, more evolved sense of, when I do this, this happens. They know by scientific method that when I do X, Y happens in the real world. This kind of thing produces this result. And the sprint just gives you more chances than you get if you're building one product at a time.
What do you think about the idea of leaders with a singular vision that's almost like aggressively implemented? And let's say we have company A, which is a little bit like Apple was under Steve Jobs, at least from what you could hear, where you have one person who's got a kind of almost like aggressive vision. The processes within the company are not necessarily known for being in any way agile or in any way kind of modern. Yeah. Like Apple still is kind of a waterfall company in terms of how they release their products.
Right. They're very careful. They're taking their time to execute.
You have a company like that that's extremely successful still today, and it's not really like slowing down in any way, even though people seem to think it is. You have another company that's maybe, and I can't really think of a great example because all of these companies that come to mind are also leader-led, but you have another company which is really great on process, really great in like maybe extremely agile. Everything's working like lubed up to the nines. It's perfectly efficient, but the leader is not necessarily trying to push it in any aggressive direction.
That's the thing. It's hard to think of. I think we should ask our listeners. Can you think of a company who's successful, who's building great stuff?
What about Samsung?
Their leader, I think, is in prison. I'm not exaggerating. I think their CEO is in prison.
But
right
I think
now.
That's a company where I think they are successful, but their path to success, I guess, from the leadership perspective was copy everything and make it cheaper and do it as fast as possible.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe from the perspective of if you're a consumer looking at, you know, mobile phones. But then again, I mean, they did many things before Apple did them. They had the screen that went to the edge.
They had the first fridge.
They've been innovative in hardware.
Right.
I mean, Apple's buying stuff from them. I wouldn't paint them with a broad brush. It's a simplistic thing to say that they're copying. Look at Apple, look at Android.
Yeah, yeah.
They're also copying things.
Yeah.
They're just doing it really well. And that's part of the thing, is there is no one size fits all formula for what works. But I think you're right that to say like, oh, if you follow this process, everything's going to work out for you. It improves your chances of success, but you need a good leader. And that leader has to have the right vision.
Right. If you look at a company today which has a strong leader with really bad processes, they're going to struggle a lot, right? There's going to be a struggle. I see companies like this all the time where you go inside, people are obviously pretty stressed out about working there. Even if they love the brand, the whole thing, the whole system, they're not really reaching their potential. But if you go inside a company which has bad leader and also no processes, I think introducing the design sprint into either one of those things is going to dramatically improve things. But could it be that there is something that is almost like binary, you'll be an interesting, huge company that, you know, the media also loves and that the world loves, and it's a brand that people are excited about, but nobody knows the leader. Actually, wait a second. I don't know the leader of Lego.
Yeah. I saw a picture of him. I was at the Lego house last
week. I did see photos, yeah.
But yeah, that's an interesting example. They've been around for a long time. I suspect the leadership kind of has to be good, though, because it's definitely doable to make even a successful business fall apart. And Lego had their struggles, right? Like, yeah, in the 90s, they almost had to sell the company. And so it takes good leadership to get out of that. But I think this is a good puzzler for our listeners. I imagine many of us have been exposed to teams or worked on teams where there's a person who thinks that they are Steve Jobs and doesn't have that kind of wisdom.
Just is angry.
Yeah, wants to be top down and thinks that their vision is right, absolutely, and that they will bend the world to their view. And most people don't have that kind of insight and experience.
Right.
We talked to Jason Fried recently, right?
Yeah.
He's been doing things for 18 years, right? And he has so much experience that, yeah, he can launch in 6 weeks. He knows his customer so well. This team knows the customer so well. They can launch and it works. Can a company reproduce that? You probably can't do it cold. Can you learn over time? Yeah, you can. And sprints are a good way to get reps and learn.
It was the Jason Fried episode that got me thinking about this, because, yeah, I was like, yeah, everything he's saying makes total sense. Why doesn't everybody do this? But then I thought, like, who has the incentive to push those things through a company, right?
Yeah.
A leader.
Yeah.
There's not so many people who have those incentives. And I think that that's also something when I got to thinking about my own company and about like how much of the company operates and the way it operates because of myself and my co-founder in the first few years of it. I think obviously we could have just been like every other agency, but we kind of didn't want to do that. We want to push in our own ways. I think it is a puzzle. I didn't have an answer for this when I wanted to talk about this topic, but I think it's a good little brain teaser. Like you said, good little brain teaser, good little short episode. I think just leave it hanging, like let an episode of Lost.
Leave the puzzle out there, yeah.
What do you think? So if you have any thoughts, if you have any kind of comments on this, if you can help us out with that conversation, you can send an email to pbc@ajsmart.com. But maybe even better is just to contact myself and Jake, tag both of us on Twitter. It's @jicecream and @JakeK on Twitter. How do you
Sweet.
Like that?
Sweet. Yeah, that's good. We're out. Do we sing on the way out or not? I can't remember.
How about we just like hum on the way out?
Okay.
Help me. Goodbye, everybody.